Hi, this is Jerry Godsey. Welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Remnant, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Good morning. Try not to sound so excited, you're frightening the children. Good morning. Happy birthday. Stand up. Happy birthday to you. Let's sing, happy birthday to you. You know the tune. Sit down, sit down. Happy birthday. 32 today, right? 32, yeah, good. I'm going to begin a new series today, and what's going to happen is Jeremiah and I are going to trade off. So, 1 week there'll be a sermon on the website, and the next week there won't. If you get a chance, you got to listen to the thing we cut in place of Jeremiah's sermon this week, and that was totally my fault. I'll take blame for it since it was totally my fault. I forgot to give him the memory card for the recorder this week, so he didn't get to record his sermon. And I felt bad about it for, golly, a good 30 seconds to a minute. And then, no. So, but I'm going to begin a series today called My Place in This World. Because here's the thing. Remnant, like I said in my newspaper column Friday, it burns in my bones that church has got to be a place for you to come and be comfortable. Church, I'm wearing jeans today and a Hawaiian shirt. There are some churches where I wouldn't be allowed in the building. Because I think it's Ecclesiastes 27:12 says, "Ye verily, thou shalt not wear Hawaiian shirts in my building, yea, they say the Lord." Actually, I don't think that's there. And here's the thing. We kind of have the idea that we want people to come and be comfortable and to know that there's a place for them. And they may not fit in a different kind of church or a regular church. So we wanted to provide a church for them. But for that to happen, we've got to have people come alongside of us who are going to help us reach that goal. And let me tell you something. My vision, when I was a youth pastor, I was told that young people will never be spiritually mature. That the most you can do is hope to get them through high school, and then somewhere along the line, they'll become mature Christians. And I told the guy that said that to me, it was another youth pastor, by the way, and I said, if I believed that, I'd quit youth ministry and just start being a senior pastor. Because I don't care how old you are today, I don't care how young you are or how in between you are, God has a plan for your life and wants to do something in you. Not tomorrow, not in the far off, distant future, today. What is your place in this world? Why are you here? And so we're going to start that series this morning, and the first sermon in that is taken out of Jeremiah. I felt bad for Jeremiah because I aced him out of last week, so I decided to preach out of his book today. The first sermon, that's not true. The first sermon is Fly X Counter Zip. How many of you know what that means? There's one person in this room that knows what that means. Oh, well, two, because I know because I wrote it. The other one is my son because he played football at Delano High School, and that's one of their plays. Fly X Counter Zip. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Father God, you are great. And we pray that you will just speak to us this morning, Father, as we begin laying the groundwork for what we can be, what this church can be, God. But the church is never going to be any stronger than we are. Lord, bless us. Keep us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. This is what God said. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. This is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. But I said, hold it, Master God, look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. God reached out, touched my mouth and said, look, I've just put my words in your mouth, hand delivered. See what I've done? I've given you a job to do among the nations and governments. A red letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish, and then start over. building and planting. I'm a football fan. I love football. The NFL, college, Pop Warner. I've coached everything from flag football all the way up. Love it. Love football. So when I start thinking in terms of strategy, I start thinking in terms of football, because football is a very strategic game. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I thought that, you know, the Rams were my favorite team growing up because I was in L.A. I thought that the Rams and the 49ers just showed up on Sunday morning. And, you know, guys in the huddle, and you see, you know, John Brody and Roman Gabriel. That shows how old I am. Yes, all the kids are like, who? John Brody, Roman Gabriel, they were players back in the old days, yeah. All the old guys in there say, amen, yeah. All the young guys are like, was that before Joe Montana? Yes, it was. Before Joe Montana was born. Anyway. Back, and we had, you know, stone tablets then, and they held the little scores up, like the Flintstones. Bunch of knuckleheads. Anyway, I thought that John Brody and Roman Gabriel in the huddle and saying, okay, who's open? You know, they got all the Ram players there, and one guy says, you know what, I'll go to the water bottle, and I'll hitch, and I'll go left, and then I'll be open. No, what you see on Sunday morning is a small part of playing in the NFL. These guys are living it every day. The players get one day off. They get Tuesday off. The coaches usually don't get that. When Dick Vermeil was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, he bought waterbeds for all of his staff. You know why? He found out that 3 hours of sleep on a waterbed was like 5 hours of sleep on a regular bed. And he didn't want them to sleep very much, so he bought them all waterbeds so they could sleep shorter and do more work. Thanks, coach. Leave me alone. What's really going on is that everybody's kind of closely matched. If you think about it, there's about 90% of the guys in the NFL. Was it 32 teams? 50 players or so per team? About 90% of those guys are all about the same. You got a few superstars. The rest is all pretty evenly matched. So if my chess pieces are the same as your chess pieces, then it matters how I move them around. That's the fun of coaching. The fun of coaching is when you're coaching, especially offense, you're not looking on this play, you're looking three or four plays ahead. If I get a first down here, what am I going to do? If I don't get a first down here, what am I going to do? If I've got, you know, look at the sidelines sometime at the NFL coach. He's got this long list of plays. And it's not just like every play he has. It's all broken down. Okay, if it's the first quarter and it's first and goal from the 5, here's the plays we run. If it's the fourth quarter and time's left and we're down by 10, here are the plays we run. I mean, it's amazing how complicated it is. The thing is, they're all calling plays. They're looking at it and they're saying, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to try and run. But when I was a kid playing football in the sand lot, we didn't do that. Kid playing football in the outfield of our little league park, we'd get in there and say, okay, you go down there and you hit Bobby, and then Tom, you run right behind him. When Bobby falls, because he will, because he's a wimp, when Bobby falls, I'll throw the ball to you. And if they grab you, I'll run behind you. You give me the ball, because I'm faster than you. I never got to say that last part, because I wasn't faster than anybody, but I was bigger than a lot of them, and I could hurt him in Jesus' name. Not even in Jesus' name, I could just hurt them. Do you know a lot of people live their lives like that? A lot of people live their lives like every play is a sandlot play. Every day when they wake up, all right, what am I going to do today? How am I going to live my life today? What's my plan for today? No strategic thinking. No long-range plan for their life. They're just trying to survive today. The problem with that is that you don't ever win, especially the game of life, when you do that way. So we're going to talk today about the fact that God has a plan for your life. I want you to think today of God as a coach. And he's laid out this game plan for your life, a game plan that's going to make you successful. He's laid it all out for you. How are you going to do it? So let's talk about some things. First of all, what you need to know is your job is to run the plays, not call them. I had one kid that played flag football for me a couple of years ago that would come off and tell me the plays that we ought to run. Hey, coach, you ought to run this play. Why? Because I like that play. And the reason he liked it is because he got the ball. But you can't run that play. You fumble every time. Honest to goodness, he fumbled every time we ran this play. It was a reverse, and he fumbled every time we gave him the ball. Well, yeah, but I won't fumble this time, coach. Yeah, you probably will. You have, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you're probably going to fumble this time too. Your job is to run the plays. It's God's job to call them. Look at it, it says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. God had a game plan for Jeremiah's life. God had appointed Jeremiah to accomplish a certain task. God has set aside you to accomplish certain tasks. Do you know what those tasks are yet? Nope. And you know what? They change. They don't change in God's mind. They change in your mind. You may think you have it all planned out. I'm 48 years old. I know, it seems old to some of you guys. I was telling Danielle I'm 3 times older than her plus. Thank you for that. I had hair once too. Actually, I have hair now. I just shave it all off. Anyway, if I had scripted out my life, this is not what I would be doing today. I would not be working for the sheriff's office and part-time pastoring a brand new church. It's not what I would be doing. I would be the pastor of some mega church somewhere. I'd have a staff of 10 or 12 people, and you know, we'd have 10 services on Sunday morning, because I grew up thinking that was what success was. I'm third-generation preacher in my family. I grew up thinking that was success. You know what I found that success is? Success is doing what God wants you to do. And when we start thinking we're smarter than God, we've got problems. 1985, when the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl, Mike Ditka was their coach. If you know very much about Mike Ditka, he's this real brash kind of guy. And their quarterback was named Jim McMahon. And Jim McMahon didn't really care about anything. He was just kind of going to do his own thing, and if you didn't like it, too bad. Well, that didn't go well with Ditka, because Ditka was like, do it my way or the highway. And McMahon kept trying to choose the highway. Ditka sent in a play one time, and the guy, the running back, runs it in, and he tells McMahon, hey, coach wants you to run this play. McMahon says, no, I don't want to run that play. We're going to run this one. And if you ever see the film, there's Ditka on the sideline. He sees the play unfolding, and he says words that you can't say in church. He says words you're not supposed to say anywhere. He puts together words you're not supposed to say anywhere. And he scored a touchdown on McMahon's play, not on Coach Ditka's play. McMahon comes off, and he thinks, hey, I scored a touchdown, I'm okay. Ditka is furious. He's screaming at him. He's saying all kinds of non-Jesus words to him. And McMahon says, but I scored. Ditka says, that's not the issue. The issue is, you didn't do what I told you to do. And let me tell you something. You could try running your own plays. You could try doing whatever you want to do for a while. And you may have a little bit of success. But it's going to cost you trouble. That was the only year the Bears won the Super Bowl. After that, the team fell apart. McMahon ended up playing a couple other places, but he didn't really become anything. See, you got to go with the game plan. God has a plan for your life, and he's going to give it to you as you go. He's not going to give it to you all at once. If when I was 20 years old, God had told me that I was 48, when I was 48, I'd have no hair, be standing in a church plant somewhere and not be where I thought I was headed and have a regular day job on top of it, I would have said, man, I got to do something else. I got to find something else. Because that's not what I wanted to do. But I will stand here and tell you now that I'm as happy as I've ever been. I love all the things that I do. I love what God has for me. But it's not what I thought it would be. You discover God's will. It comes to you as you go. How do you do it? You do it the same way Jeremiah did it. You listen. Listen to what God has to say. And we all wait for this audible voice. You know,
I want you to go.
My best friend, one of my best friends, Dave Johnson, was praying one day, and he was scared to death. For some reason, Dave was afraid that God was going to send him to Africa. He just knew God was going to make him a missionary to Africa. And he's praying every day in his house. Lord, Jesus, I'll do anything you want. Please don't make me a missionary to Africa. Lord, I'll do anything you want. Please don't make me a missionary to Africa. And his roommate, Jack Dunham, who's still in El Centro, Jack Dunham said, got behind him one day, and he says, in the darkness of the hallway,
"How well do you speak Swahili?"
And Dave never knew it was Jack. And for 2 days, Dave walked around just gone because he knew God was going to make him go to Africa, and he didn't want to go to Africa. Finally, Jack told him, "Dude, it was me. I was messing with you." And Dave wouldn't talk to him for like a week. He was so mad at him. God's plan for Dave wasn't necessarily to go to Africa. That was Jack's plan, just because he didn't want him as a roommate anymore, I guess. I don't know. You have to listen. And it's not going to come as an audible voice. I mean, it may, but I've never heard it. Sometimes it comes in circumstances that we go through. And you take a step and you say, "Well, wait a second. That's not what I had planned." But then a peace comes over and says, "Okay, yeah, but that's what God wants." You discover it. God will send people in your life that will give you guidance. God will send people in your life that will help you work on it. You know what the problem is? Sometimes we think we know more than God. The problem is we think we're Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is one of the only NFL quarterbacks that gets to call his own plays. That's when he gets to the line and he's waving his hands and stuff. I thought he was, bringing in planes or something at first. And I think half that stuff is just him goofing around. I think he's just messing people up, you know. He gets to call his own plays, though. But go back to the other quarterbacks that you may have seen, the guys that win the Super Bowl, Brett Favre, John Elway, those guys, they don't call their own plays. They get sent in from the sideline. They had little speakers in their helmets. That's why when you see the guy standing like that, his ears aren't cold. He's listening. The coach is telling him what to do. We think that we can do it ourselves. Let me tell you something. Who do you want in control of your life? You or God? Because let's be honest, you've probably messed it up. Who do I want in control of Jerry Godsey's life? God, the creator of the universe? Or Jerry Godsey, the guy who got a D in geometry in high school? Decisions, decisions. I think God's got a little bit on me. Yeah? We've got to get with God's program. The key to success is not in figuring out what you do best and maximizing your talents. That's what the world will tell you. Find out what you're good at and then do it. And then do everything you can to make it better. That's not the way God works. God may have given you certain talents and he wants you to use them. When I was in, before I went to college, I was singing in a band, The Believers. My kids still give me grief about that name. It was a decent band with a lousy name. Sorry. All right, it was a lousy band with a lousy name. But anyway, you get the idea. We were good. And we sang stuff in the valley. We did some outreaches and we did some away things and stuff. And I went away to college and I thought for sure I was going to have a music ministry. In fact, I had a lady prophesy over me before I went. "Lord's going to use you in music ministry." And I thought, oh, yes. I had one tryout. Maranatha Music worked out one tryout for me. It was with a Christian punk band. I show up. I'm wearing nice dress slacks.
"Hi, I'm here to sing in the band."
These guys have like safety pins out of their nose. And Jesus loves you, brother. What's up? That's great. I was there like half an hour and I said, "Yeah, I don't think this is going to work." I said, "No, we don't think so either, dude." I never got anything else. I never sang anywhere else. I didn't sing in chapel. I didn't hook on with a band anywhere. I was nothing. And I looked at it and I thought, well, God, I thought that music was going to be a big thing. And God says, "Yeah, that's what you get for thinking." See, I knew what I wanted. That's not necessarily what God wanted. Where are you? Look at Proverbs 15:22. It says, "Refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed." You ever do whatever you want, no matter what somebody else tells you? Okay, none of you guys, I'm sure. None of you, just me. I'm sure that's just me. Because my wife gives me advice, and I don't listen to her. And she always tells me, I told you so. That's what wives do. It's their strong point. I can't tell you how many times I've done something kind of against, not against God, but I knew what I was supposed to do and didn't want to do it, so I did my own thing anyway. It gets really ugly when that happens. You ever done that? Again, I'm sure none of you have. Just me. I'm just sharing my heart this morning. Let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, two important lessons I've learned. First of all, when I listen, God speaks. Now, when I was a kid growing up, and again, you have to be like over a certain age to understand this, there was an investment company, I don't even think they're alive anymore, called E.F. Hutton. And they had these commercials. And they'd be sitting at a table talking, and they'd be in this restaurant, everybody's talking, all this hubbub going on. Or they'd be at a stadium, and everybody's talking, and a game's going on. And the one guy's talking, and he says, well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and then everything goes quiet. And everybody's listening. The whole stadium gets quiet, and everybody's listening. And the line under that was, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. I guess you had to be there. Anyway. When God speaks, I listen. When I listen, God speaks. Don't get twisted on this, because we have a tendency to think that if we talk, God will listen. And God does. When we pray, God listens. But when we tell God what we think He ought to do, God's like, you know what? I was here when the earth was created. You've been on here, what, 10 years? 15 years? Ooh. I had to photograph this 15-year-old kid at work last week, and he really thought he was hardcore. Oh, this little 15-year-old skinny dude, and I'm thinking, man, they're going to like you in juvenile hall. You're going to get beat up on a regular basis, because this guy thought he was bad, you know. And I'm photographing him. He's giving me all kinds of grief and talking smack and stuff, and finally I looked at him and said, you know what, dude? You got problems coming. You got problems coming. If you're smart, you'll listen to what we're trying to tell you. Because we were trying to help him. If you're smart, you'll listen to what's coming. If you're not smart, we're going to see you again. He was acting all tough. And finally I said, you know what we call guys like you? This is a sheriff's office thing. You know what we call guys like that? Job security. And I told him, I said, because as long as there are guys like you, I'll always have a job. That shut him up. I think because he didn't want to think that he was keeping the cops in a job. Book of James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. We need to listen to what God says. When we get to a place where we don't know what to do, we need to shut up and listen to God. Here's a novel concept. Shut up. Oh, let me do it in church terms. Yea, verily. Thou shouldst quiet thine mouth. No, shut up. You ever met somebody that was talking so much they couldn't listen? Hey, your hair's on fire. Well, you know, I was telling Bob the other day, your hair's on fire. I was telling Bob, your hair's on fire. Hey, my hair's on fire. I tried to tell you 5 minutes ago, but you wouldn't listen. Second thing I know, I'll know what I need to know when I need to know it. It's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. No. I told you before, if I knew when I was 20 years old that I'd be standing here looking like this, right now, I probably would have jumped off a bridge at 21. Because I looked somewhat decent at 21. Well, a little bit. I had hair. That's about all you can say, I guess. I had hair. It wasn't even good hair. My 30-year high school reunion is next Saturday night. 30 years, okay? We have people who won't come because they're too fat. So I told them at the meeting the other day, I said, you know what? We should go to their houses and photograph them and tell them, we're going to show you anyway. You might as well show up. Here's a list of people who thought they were too fat to come. Wouldn't it be great? Aren't you glad I'm not in charge of the world? Aren't you? He's like, thank God. When I was a youth pastor, for 10 years, the kids who drove me nuts, and I'm sure none of you are this way. Jeremiah just hung his head. Okay, I'm sure none of you are this way. The kids who drove me nuts were the ones who would come up in the middle of everything. We would be at a lock-in in the middle of this intense competition, doing cool things. Oh, come on, let's go. And some kids would come up, what are we going to do next? I'm going to kill you, then we're going to finish this game. I never said that, but I thought it a lot of times. We'd be in Bible study. And this kid would have a question. Yeah, this burning question, raise his hand. But Jerry. Yeah? Are we going to go have pizza afterward? Shut up. We were in the middle of a huddle one time for a game. And one of the kids said, are we going to have orange slices at halftime? Everybody is, but you, be quiet. We're trying to play football here. And I was a high school kid. No, I'm just kidding. I was Bob Warner. There are some people who can't enjoy now because they're too worried about what happens next. There's some people who can't get into what's going on now because they only want to know what's going on. Some of you right now are trying to figure out what you're going to have for lunch. You tuned me out 10 minutes ago, and now all you're thinking about is pot roast. And if you weren't, you are now. I'm going to go to Johnny's. I'm going to get a burrito. No, Johnny's is closed on Sunday. All right, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to get a burrito. You're so worried about what's going to happen next, you can't get into what's going to happen now. God says, you know what? Let's take care of today. You and I will work on today. I'll take care of tomorrow. God has your life laid out. God has plans for you that will just boggle your mind. Let me tell you something. I'm happier standing here today than I've ever been in the ministry. And I've pastored churches. I've pastored churches with schools and all this stuff, and all I got was grief and pressure from it. And stomach problems that just rolled in my stomach because I was always stressed out about stuff. You know what? God has a way of working his stuff out. And I can tell you that being in God's will is the happiest place to be. But you're not going to get all of it all at once. If you're going to go on a plane trip this summer to go see an aunt or an uncle somewhere, when do they give you the plane ticket? Your parents give you the plane ticket early? Or you're in July, you're flying to Nebraska. Here's your plane ticket. Hold on to it. Not if they're smart. Because 10 minutes from now, you don't know where it is. They're probably going to give you your ticket as you get on the plane. There's the gate. Here's you. Here's your ticket. Go. You're going to get what you get when you're going to get what you need when you need it. We're so busy trying to ask God where we're going to be in 10 years. God's saying, you know what? Let's take care of now. Second thing you need to know, the best defense is a good offense. Best defense is a good offense. That sounds funny. The best way to play defense is to play offense. God gave Jeremiah a word. He says, I appointed you as a prophet. Look at verse 6. But I said, hold it, Master God. Look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. And here's what he's saying is, I don't know how to do anything. I'm young. I was talking with one of the guys today. He said, where are all the grown-ups? I said, well, or where are all the adults? I said, well, aren't you adult? He says, well, yeah, kind of, but not really. I'm big, but I'm not, like, grown up. You ever feel that way sometimes? I feel that way sometimes. I'm 48 years old. I'm like, I'm big, but I'm not grown up. I was playing PlayStation 2 last night. Not even against anybody. I was just playing by myself. I don't have an excuse. There's no teenagers in my house to play PlayStation 2 with. I was playing some snowboarding game, SSX or something like that. And it was rocking, man. I'm yelling at the TV because that guy keeps knocking me down, making me mad. I'm old, but I haven't grown up. But look at Jeremiah saying, but I'm little, and I don't know things. You get that whiny kind of sound? Yeah. There used to be a Saturday Night Live thing about the whiners. Well, we don't like macaroni and cheese. We want hamburgers. Every youth group has them. Every church has them. But Pastor, Why'd you do it that? I don't like that song. And when you're the pastor, you can't just say, shut your pie hole. You think it, but you can't say it. So you just look at it and say, well, thank you, sister. I'll take that under advisement. Bless you. And in your head, you're thinking, go home and soak your head, lady. But you never say that. And if you do, you just call U-Haul because it's time for you to go somewhere else anyway. See, here's what Jeremiah is doing. Jeremiah is saying, here's all the reasons I can't do what you said, God. Here's all my excuses. Here's all my reasons why I can't. And look what God says. God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. And God is trying to tell Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you're playing offense. Your job is to go do things. And instead, you're trying to play defense. You're trying to defend yourself. You're trying to make excuses about why you can't. And all these other things that God is saying, quit worrying about why you can't. And just know that because of me, you can. Let me tell you guys something. There is something great that God wants you to do. And you can't do it by yourself. And when you look at it, you think, I can't do that. And God says, you're right. I didn't ask you to do it by yourself. I said I'd send my Holy Spirit to help you. I said that I would give you strength. I said that I would give you power. I said that I would give you words. Quit trying to do it by yourself. You're just going to mess it up. You ever try to do something on your own? And then you're like, oh, wow, that's bad. This week, I learned a new thing at work. We have this computer that reads fingerprints. It's not like CSI, by the way. I think it drives me crazy when you watch CSI. They put the fingerprints in there and it says, exact match. That's a lie. There's not a computer in the world that can do that. The FBI doesn't have that computer. What it does is you put all the stuff in, and you got to draw all the little things with a cursor and telling it where all the bifurcations and the ridge endings and the dots are. And then it gives you a list of like 20 people and says, okay, now you choose. And the computer's wrong. It sent me a list of 20 people, and none of them were the right one. I'm like, stupid computer. Well, I got a little bit. They told me a little bit about how to use it this week. And my sergeant was gone, and I had a print to run. And I said, well, he showed me how I can do it. I can't do it. I had enough knowledge to be dangerous. See, I thought, but here's, I know how to do this. I didn't know how to do it. I needed a little more help. We look at our lives and we think, oh, I can do this all by myself. I'm a big boy. And God looks and says, no, you can't. And just like me, I messed it up. And I'm surprised we didn't get a call from the Department of Justice. Oh, God, kid you not. Thankfully, I didn't send it to the FBI. I didn't get to that part of it. I just sent it to the Department of Justice. Because sometimes they'll call you with a nasty note. Why are you doing this? You know you can't. You know that won't work. So I didn't mess it up that bad, but I messed it up pretty bad. We ran it the next day, and we still didn't get any hits, but we knew how to do it better. A lot of times our lives are like that. We think we can do it on our own, and God's saying, you know what? I'll help you with this if you just let me. God's going to be there for us. But we got to quit making excuses. We got to quit telling God why we can't and let Him tell you why we can. We look at all the obstacles around us. We look at all the reasons why we can't. And God says, yeah, but there's only one reason why you can, and it's the big one, and the fact that I'm going to give you strength. Let me show you one phrase right here. Look at this. Obedience overcomes obstacles. Obedience overcomes obstacles. Whatever it is right now that God is calling you to do that you don't think you can do, here's what you need to know. If you obey God, He's going to overcome all those obstacles. He's going to see you through and put you past it. Guaranteed. Why? Because He wants to see you make it. What is this? What did He say? Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. The best way to get around obstacles is to obey God. The best way to make sure that your life is what God wants it to be is just to obey God. Quit trying to do it on your own. You're just going to mess it up anyway. Listen to what God wants to tell you. You know what teams will do? You know, Peyton Manning, and they won the Super Bowl this year. Peyton Manning with all the arm flapping and stuff. You know how to beat the Indianapolis Colts? You're not going to beat them with your defense. You're going to beat them when your team has the ball and it stays on the field. Because let me tell you something. No matter how good Peyton Manning is, he can't score touchdowns from the bench. If there was a way, he'd try. But if he's standing on the sideline, he just stands there and says, sure, hope we get the ball. I saw teams this year run the ball every play against them because a running play takes longer than a pass play. There are teams that would chew up 8 or 9 minutes of a 15-minute quarter just to keep the Colts from getting on the field. That's one of the ways you beat them. If you spend all of your time on the offense, the other team can't beat you. If you spend all of your time doing what God wants you to do, it's going to be hard for the devil to defeat you. It's going to be hard for you to give in to those things that you think you can't do because you're so busy doing things you can, you don't worry about the things you can't. We've got to play offense. Third thing, every play is a crucial play. If you listen to much sports, the announcers drive me crazy sometimes. This is the play of the game, folks. It all comes to this. It's like the third pitch of the ball game. It all comes down to this at bat. He's the leadoff hitter of the first inning. I think we got more time. Remember a few years ago during the Cubs playoff game? And the Cubs were actually in a position to win the series, and a ball came off to the foul side, and some guy reaches up and grabs it. And the Cubs lost the game because this guy grabbed the ball. Then the Cubs lost, like, was it two more games after that, or one more game after that? And everybody blames this guy. This guy, they were showing his name. There were websites that gave his home address because the Chicago fans hated this guy. And they were blaming this guy for the loss. Well, let me tell you something. That was one fly ball in like the seventh inning. There were two innings left to go. He didn't cause that game to be lost. He didn't make the Cubs lose the next game. See, we like to think that it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this moment. You know what? In God's economy, sometimes it does. You need to know that every day in your life is crucial. You don't get to coast. Every day in your life, you've got to be asking God, God, what am I going to do today? God, what do you need me to do today? God, what can I be available to do for you today? Because here's the thing. You're going to meet people today, tomorrow, the next day, and they may be the only chance. You may be the only chance they get to see Jesus that day. You don't get to have a bad day. You don't get to coast. You need to be asking God to give you strength every single day because every day in your life is crucial. Every single day is a life that you can live for God, that you can do something great for God. Look at verse 9. And this is from a different version that's in the notes originally. It says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations. When? Yesterday? Tomorrow? Today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Today. When you discover God's plan for your life, then this is the day to start moving in that direction. When I was young, I would say, well, when I grow up, I'm really going to do something great for God. In the meantime, all those people that were around me every day, they needed me to be something for God. Then I got a little older, and I thought, well, one of these days, you know, after my kids are raised, or this, or that, or the other thing, you always keep saying, well, one of these days, or one of these days, one of these days I'll go on a diet. You see how that's working out. One of these days I'll clean my bedroom. One of these days I'll get good grades. When I was teaching at Faith Academy in Imperial, these guys would come in. One kid came in and I said, well, what grade are you in? See, when they come to high school, come to us from high school, from public schools, when they come to private schools, usually there's a problem. This kid came in, he said, well, I'm a junior. I said, really? All right. I checked his transcripts. He had 5 credits. I said, man, you're not even a first semester freshman. He, honest to goodness, he'd been to high school for 3 years. He had 5 credits. 5. That's one class. You go to gym class, show up every day, and change clothes, you know, once or twice a week, you're going to get 5 credits. And I said, you're not a senior. You're not a junior. You're not even a freshman. Well, I'm going to graduate. No, you're not. Not anytime soon, Haas. And he said, well, you know what? I'm going to get my GED and then I'll go to college and I'll be a good student in college. Why? Is there a magic pill that you can take that suddenly makes you a good student? Let me tell you something. The best way to find out what kind of day you're going to have tomorrow is to look what kind of day you had today or yesterday. Best way to find out what kind of student you're going to be in college is to tell me what kind of student you are in high school. Best way to tell me what kind of high school student you are is to tell me what kind of junior high student you were. You know why? Because we build on those other behaviors. There's no magic pill. You want to tell me? You want me to know what kind of employee you're going to be? Tell me about your last job. What kind of employee were you at your last job? Well, you know, I had some problems, so I didn't show up all the time. And sorry, don't need you. Don't need you. That's why we ask for references when you go to job interviews, because we want to know where you've been and why. We get resumes from these guys. I just sat on an interview panel for a guy, for somebody from my spot, for my unit. We had this one guy that had all these college degrees, and he hadn't held a job for more than 2 years over the last 15 years. He didn't get hired because there's a problem there. There's a problem there. Today, God is calling you. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. What are you going to do today? See, Billy Graham, one of my heroes, spoken to thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people, who knows? By the time you count all the people who heard him on television and stadiums and all these things, incredible. But at some point, Billy Graham was just a newly saved young man. Billy Graham didn't start out preaching to thousands. He started out as a young person, just doing what God wanted him to do. And it was Billy Graham who said one of my all-time favorite quotes, "The most important thing about being available, the most important thing about being a Christian is being available to do the next thing God asks you to do." What day is the most important day of your Christian walk? Today. Can you change yesterday? No. Are you going to have tomorrow? Maybe. But you're not guaranteed it. You're not guaranteed it. I deal all the time with people who thought they had another day. And when I have to deal with them, they're lying on a table somewhere and we're cutting their innards open so we can see what happened to them and find out why they didn't have another day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And nobody who woke up today that's going to die today thinks that today's their day to die. About once in a while. Maybe, because maybe they're planning it. But really, I mean, if I knew that today somebody was going to come and hurt me, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be under my bed with a gun, two or three guns, and knives and my dogs. My dogs wouldn't be any help, but they'd be comfort. We got Boston Terriers. They're not going to do anything. They might lick you to death, but they won't hurt you. But I would, man, I'd be under the bed with my service weapon and my backup weapon and a rifle and guns, I mean knives and sticks and rocks that I could throw in desperation. But if I knew somebody was coming to hurt me, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Come on, bring it on. No, I'm a chicken. See, we've got to know that today is the day. We've got to know that we can do what God wants us to do today. Most important thing, here it is, consistently surrendering to His leadership. This is how you implement God's plan in your life, by consistently surrendering to His leadership. Consistently, because every day is a crucial day. You don't get days off. Surrendering through active obedience. Telling God, okay, God, here's my plan, here's your plan, let's go with yours. It's just that simple. And then finally, His leadership, because God calls the plays. February 3rd, whatever it was, they had the Super Bowl. By July, half the country won't know who won the Super Bowl this year. Because it really wasn't that important. And I'm a football fan, but it really wasn't that important, especially since the Bears didn't win. That's my team. If the Bears had won, it would be a whole, I would have a different attitude about it, but the Colts won, and so nobody will care. What are you doing today? God's plan in your life. And don't give me excuses. Don't tell me you're young. Don't tell me you're old. Don't tell me you're this. Don't tell me you're that. Come on. Come on. My grandpa said an excuse is a lie in the skin of the truth. What are you doing today? What can you do this moment to surrender to God's leadership and be the person you want him to be? I said at the very beginning of this message that this church is never going to be greater than you are. What's your name? Yeah.
Rachel.
Remnant is never going to be greater than you are. It's pressure, huh? Oh, it's pressure. That remnant is never going to be any greater than you are. Wow. What's your name in the back? Huh? Anna? Remnant is never going to be greater than you are. Wow. Because that's who we are. Who's the church? We are. Who's going to reach out to... Who's going to reach out to the people you know at school? I'm not going to get to see them. Who's going to reach out to the people you work with? I'm not going to get to see them. Who's going to reach out to the people in your neighborhood? Not me. I'm not there all the time. You are. You've got to be consistently surrendering to God's leadership to reach out to those people. You ever see those big coffee urns? And then on the outside they have that little thin tube of glass, and that shows the level of the coffee. Did you know that the coffee inside the urn will never be any higher than the little level of coffee in that little thin glass tube? It's always the same level. How much God does at this church is going to depend on how much God does in your life. You with me? Is that a pressure? Absolutely. And I'm not going to make any apologies for that. If you walk out here saying, man, he put us on a lot of pressure today, good. Because let me tell you something. Outside of this building today, one block this way, are people dying and going to hell. Dying and going to hell. That's our job. That's why we're here. Make no mistake about it. That's why we're here. This is not a place just to come meet your buddies. Not a place to come and look good on Sunday. I'm wearing my new dress. Big fat hairy deal. This is where you come so we can fill you up and send you out so you can accomplish God's will. Your place in this world is the place God has for you. It's awesome. It's the most exciting thing you'll ever do. And if you're here this morning and maybe you and God, it's been a while since you talked. That's okay. Because the great thing is, God's still available. The great thing is that God wants to meet you right where you are. And you can start today on the rest of what God has for you. Amen? Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. You love us so much. Father, you want us to do something for you. You want us to be your church. You want us to be the people you've made us to be. So God, speak to us. Bless us, keep us, Father God, do great things. God, as we consistently surrender to your leadership, God, as every day we wake up and we say, okay, God, you're calling the plays today. I'm just going to run them. God, you're the one in charge. I'm just going to go with whatever you call me to do, God. Father, we are going to be more successful than we ever could imagine. Not because we're good, God, but because you're good. Not because we're talented, God, but because you gave us talents. God, not because we're spiritual. Father, because we're yielded and you are the one who gives us the Spirit. Speak to us. Bless us. Make us your person, God. Thanks. With your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to say a prayer in your own heart. I'm not going to lead you on a prayer because I think this has got to come from you. Here's what I want you to say. God, I want to be your person. I want to consistently surrender to your leadership, God. Starting today, I want you to be somebody in me. Come on, whatever words you want to do. But God, today I want to get on your page, God. I want you to start calling the plays for my life. I don't know where it's going to end up. I don't know where it's going to end up. Or what I'm going to be, God. But I know that when if I'm in you, if I'm doing what you want me to be, I'm going to be great, God. Thanks. Father, I pray for every person in this room that your Holy Spirit would come and speak to hearts. God, that you would surround us with your Spirit this week. That every step we take, Father, you will say, I ordained that step. Here's what I want you to be. Here's what I want you to do. Father, when we meet people who need to know about you, God, we will open our hearts and your words will come through. Because you are great. Because you are mighty. Because you are wise, Father. We're just vessels. We're just garden hoses. And we're just going to let your Spirit flow through us. God, thanks. Thanks, Father. Bless us. Keep us now. Make us your own. We ask it in your name. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.